Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to quick takes, just to finish off our conversation, so Dave's winging it, Steve, he's got some travel issues, things got lost in his travel, so he's got to make a bunch of phone calls today and trying to rectify some situations, and he's strangely looking forward to it. So we turned that into what is something that like 90% of people hate doing, but for some reason you are in that 10% that you love doing something. I figure you would have a good answer for this.
I love getting in ultimatums with cable companies when they try to raise my cable bill. I will sit on that phone.
Yeah.
You just get me to the next person. Let's go. I'll put you on speaker. I'll watch television. And I'll just sit here until, not good enough. Get me somebody else.
Really? And we do it. And it works all the time.
Every single time. Now, you need patience.
Yep.
You got to wear them out.
Yep.
Oh, but I love it. Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
Okay. That's a good one.
Good enough.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, that's a good.
Excellent.
That's about once a year, I go through this dog and pony show.
Yeah.
I have to, here we go again.
Right.
They're going to raise it. And no, they're not. And I'm going to block out a few hours here, and we're going to get this taken care of.
I had a buddy in college teach me that he would switch back and forth to two different companies constantly because they'd keep beating the other's price.
Yep.
And
the key, and you said it, is having something else to do. You know you're going to get stuck on hold. So
absolutely.
Have something else, which I was going to do this task last night because I was going to make these phone calls during the baseball game. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
The phone can be on speaker next to me. I can do the baseball game.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
They were closed, though, so now I got to do it today and find something else.
No, but you
got alternate activity.
Yeah, because it's infuriating if you're there and you're not doing anything and you just have the phone up your ear. It's like, I've got my time spent.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I'm just going to do what I'm doing anyway, and I don't
you hear
care
the
what
same
hear.
Music over and over that you come up with
absolutely.
Lyrics by the end of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I have no problem
that's a good
with that.
One.
I enjoy it.
Nice. Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
A disaster obviously struck Jamaica yesterday as that Category 5 hurricane brought
crazy.
Wow. Wild. Winds, flooding, terrible news coming out of Jamaica. Of course, Paul Douglas will join us in an hour to talk a little bit about the weather situation. Though, here's the question for you, Adam. I have an opportunity for you. There's an organization that's sending able-bodied people down to Jamaica. The company here has agreed to give you like 4 days off. You can hop on a plane today and go down there and help out. Are you in? Would you jump at an opportunity? No, obviously, like, you and I don't really have the skills to help, and there's other, it's not realistic.
You could do something, though.
But if you had the opportunity, would you?
100% yes. If I didn't have, kids' things to attend to, and I could just drop everything in my life and do it, absolutely.
That's a thing that I think, like, once in my life, I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
If I was at an age and had a skill that I could drop everything and go, I think that'd be a great experience.
In fact, I think, we do a lot of trips on this station. I'm doing one in just a couple of weeks, taking some listeners to Austria and Germany, and those are purely pleasure trips. I call them trips. They're not vacations. They're trips. They're tours where you learn, which is great. But I've always said, and I know these exist, But I would love to do, I would love to take listeners on a trip like that where you actually do good.
Yeah, like a humanitarian
in the
trip.
Place you go. Not the entire time, but think about it. Like if you went on a 7-day trip and let's say you take 2 or 3 days during that trip, and not even the whole day, just a couple of hours out of those trips to go do something in some impoverished community, that I think that would that would be a great selling point for a lot of people. Because I think there's a lot of people who feel the same way, where you get some pleasure out of it. Like, and in this case, you're in Jamaica. Yes, there's devastation there, and I'm sure it's very, but it also, you are seeing some beautiful sights. And if you're helping out your fellow man, that's absolutely. Yeah, somebody says WCCO should do a mission trip.
There you go. Yeah. You can lead it.
I think you'd be the guy.
We'll see. If they pay me for it, sure.
Yeah. I'm not helping anybody out.
I'm not going to help anybody out for man free or anything, free. But that's terrible.
Yeah, somebody says when the floods hit North Carolina, Deloitte let their employees spend as much time as they wanted to volunteer for recovery efforts at full pay. Bravo to Deloitte.
Yeah, see, the problem is the logistics of that. You know,
yeah, you can't just throw people at and then not have a plan.
Yeah, you end up being
there,
more of the problem.
Of a hassle. Right. Yes.
But if the situation were right or if the disaster was next door, yeah, get up and help. Good. Hey, a new report shows that going on long walks in particular is good for your heart health. Many people are using fitness trackers, of course, to get in a certain number of steps. You know, people saying, oh, I got to get to my 10,000 steps or whatever. But this new report shows that it's not necessarily the number of steps in a day, but it's the length of that walk, saying that a walk of at least 15 minutes a day is better than multiple short walks throughout your day. Adam, do you track your steps in a day? And how often are you getting on a long walk like that?
There was a time, like last year, it's so weird because I get on a kick of I do one thing and then I do it for a while, then I'm on to the next thing and I do that. But last summer into last fall, I was hiking all the time. I was going to Lebanon Hills and I must have hit every foot of the trails in Lebanon Hills.
Yeah.
And it was great. I did 1 6 miles one day entirely in the park. And I only crossed my path like one time, I think, which is amazing. That park is incredible. But, yeah, usually if I'm doing a walk, it's at least an hour. And I should do it more. Like even like 15, I mean, it's just such movement is good. And I know like if you, now the gym is back into play for me. But if I don't go to the gym, I'm always like, oh, I didn't do anything. Get my butt and go for a 15-minute walk. So. Yeah. Movement is good. That's the bottom line.
It's one of those things that sounds so easy. You hear that and you go, oh, great. I can do a 15-minute walk every day. And then a week from now, I'll go, ah, shoot, I didn't do any of this. Like, I didn't even do it one day.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about taking a ship across the Atlantic, you might think of the Titanic or Days Gone By. But as it turns out, you can still go today on a transatlantic cruise. Most of these are shoulder season cruises that are actually ships repositioning from the Caribbean to the Mediterranean. But when they make those trips, they offer a week plus, depending on the itinerary, with a few stops along the way as a transatlantic cruise. Adam, is that an enticing thing? Would you consider going on a trip like that?
I would love to do a transatlantic cruise. Unfortunately, my wife has zero interest in going on a cruise. She will not ever go on a cruise.
Really?
Yes. And we've seen enough bad stories that we watched the Poop Cruise that was on Netflix. But I love it. I've been fascinated now because, you know, with the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary coming up, my TikTok feed is now flooded with there's a bunch of people who actually work on Great Lakes freighters who have TikTok accounts. And they're showing the ship and what they do. I am fascinated by that. And I interviewed John U. Bacon, who just wrote this book about the Edmund Fitzgerald, and I interviewed him when I was in for Jason a couple weeks ago. We might replay that interview, by the way, when we get closer to the anniversary. But he had the opportunity to be on, just as a visitor, as a guest, to be on a couple of these Great Lakes freighters. Mm. I have to. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. And if you're listening out there and you know some connections to make it happen, I absolutely want to go on a Great Lakes freighter to make a run from, like, Two Harbors or make a run from Duluth to the Soulocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've I want to make that happen somehow, just to experience that. And that isn't like a pleasure cruise. I just want to be there and see how that ship works and operates and life aboard one of those freighters. Because like something in part of me, I've realized, wanted to be at some point in my life working on a freighter. I know that, like, I don't know if my ancestors, it's in my blood or something. That's what I was meant to do. And why I'm sitting in front of a radio microphone, I have no idea, but I should be on a boat.
You could do your show from the high seas.
Fantastic, wouldn't it?
Be awesome.
We can make that happen. Couldn't we make that happen?
Sure, why not? Finally, here in Quick Takes, I have a Halloween conundrum. We have been invited to a neighbor's house for Halloween. Some friends are in town. It's going to be a
You're going to be the only guy there again? Like, you're going to be uncomfortable because it's all the women?
No. I don't think so anyway.
Pool? Well, I was
Oh, yeah, that was the pool party. Yeah. Yes. No, here's the issue, that it's Halloween, and to me, that's the one night of the year to be at my house and be welcoming to my neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the one night a year where your neighbors will come up to your
door. So the party is actually on Halloween.
The party is on Halloween itself in someone else's house.
And you're a brand new neighbor.
Yes.
That's like you're a...
So I want to be at my house for the first Halloween, but yet I'm being invited to somebody else, and the rest of my family is excited about going somewhere else, and I guess I'm trying to decide if I'm going to be the party pooper and say, sorry, guys, like, I'm going to be at home handing out candy. I'm not sure what to do.
So your kids don't even want to, like, trick-or-treat in the new neighborhood? They'd rather go to this party?
I think they're swayed by the friends that will be at the party. They'd be excited to do that. But I think they'd be fine either way. I think it's the adults that are going to make the decision.
That's a good question. Also, should you have a Halloween party on Halloween?
See, I think...
If you've got young kids...
I think no.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that's the night to be in your own neighborhood.
Right. And plus, this year, you know, it's on a Friday, so you could have the Halloween party on a Saturday. It gives the kids an opportunity to wear their costume again.
Yes.
So, yeah, I agree. I don't think a Halloween party should be on Halloween. I'm siding with you. I think you should... This is a way to meet your new neighbors.
Yeah.
651-461-9226. What should Dave do? Should he go to the party that his family wants to go to, or being a new in the neighborhood, should he stay and hand out candy and meet his new neighbors and kids? 651-461-9226. What say you, CCO listeners? Well, first of all, yeah, just let me say that flat out. Halloween parties should not be on Halloween, unless they're for adults or people who have no connection to trick-or-treating, because I think you're very selfish if you go to a Halloween party and either bring your kids or make your kids miss out on trick-or-treating on Halloween. Now, you can do both. Somebody says do both. You could, you know, trick-or-treat to a certain time, because usually that's over pretty early, right? I mean, that gets done usually
by the question,
7 o'clock.
Yeah, sure. The bigger question, though, is, like, I want to be at my house to hand out candy, which means that's probably from 5 to 8 that you need to be
probably,
there.
Probably, yeah.
Which is right when the party at the neighbor's house would be, because it's a kid's party on a, you know, or a family party, I should say, on a Friday night. And that's, I'm sure it'll start at 5:30, and I'm sure people will be trying to get their kids to bed close to 8. So it's the exact same time.
If you lived in Columbia Heights, go to the party. Very few trick-or-treaters these days in this neighborhood. Well, I mean, that can't be said of all of Columbia Heights. I mean, I'm sure that your neighborhood is maybe quiet, but I'm sure there are other neighborhoods where...
I think that's fair, though. If you have a neighborhood where you know, hey, there's only going to be 3 kids coming by, then I think I'd have no problem with it. Okay, sure. Nobody really comes here. We'll turn off the lights and go to the party.
You can go to a party anytime, but you only have this one chance to make a first impression. Stay home unless you want to forever be labeled that guy. Spend an hour at your house and then go to your neighbors. Meeting the new neighbors is fraught with potential issues. Stick with the courtesy wave and the pretentious Minnesota knowing smirk and nod. That's pretentious? The knowing smirk and nod?
Wait, so that person's telling me I should intentionally not meet my new neighbors?
Meeting the new neighbors is fraught with potential issues. Stick with the courtesy wave and the pretentious Minnesota knowing smirk and nod.
Wow. Okay.
I'm actually looking forward to Halloween this year. We have a lot of young kids in our neighborhood, and usually Lauren is our Halloween maven. In fact, she's our holiday maven. Lauren is my stepdaughter who by this time would have had her Christmas decorations up already. But she is in New York. She is now a nanny in New York. And she'll be coming home fairly soon for a visit. But she was always loved Halloween and handing out the candy. So I think it's just up to Jen and I this year to hand out candy. But I'm going to get my fire pit going in the backyard. So that's kind of a Halloween feel, even though kids won't come in the backyard. But
see, why don't you have a fire in the driveway?
Oh, that's a good point.
Could move the fire pit up there, yeah. And you can sit out there and welcome people. We've done that a few times.
Sure. But no, I enjoy it. Handing out candy is an enjoyable thing. Send your family, stay home, and give out candy. I'm invited to a party. I'm staying home to give out candy. Halloween is magical for kids. I had 20 kids last year. Another text, 651-461-9226. Dave wondering, he's been invited to a Halloween party on Halloween, and his kids, the whole family invited, and his kids are excited about it, but he's in a new house. He just moved into this house. It's his first chance. Now, do you know a lot of your neighbors already, or was this a chance to get to know most of them?
Yeah, we've met a number of our neighbors, but it's still only been a couple of months, and I think it'd be, yeah. I'm sure there's families that will come that we've never met before, mm-hmm. A texter said it's a chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
And if the house is dark on Halloween, like that's, you know, it's not the only chance, but that's one chance to sort of be a family in that mm-hmm. community that it has, you know, an open door and a friendly voice. And that's what we want to be.
Right.
And it feels like a miss to not be that.
Can you just ring every neighbor's door tonight and ask for candy? Two birds, one stone. In our neighborhood for trick-or-treating, we get about 1,200 people, if not more, every... That is crazy.
Whoa.
Like, Vanita was saying that she gets crazy amounts of kids.
Yeah, that's like a destination neighborhood where people are driving from across the metro to that neighborhood. Wow.
Yeah, because then there's another texter said they get 20 kids. And you might not have many kids in your neighborhood, but kids get dropped off by cars in our neighborhood. Yeah, that must be a destination. 1,200 people. How much candy do you have to buy if you have 1,200 people coming to your door? You hand out candy, wife and kids go party. That way you cover both bases. But you said, though, this person is like in town for a brief time. So this isn't someone you see frequently.
Yeah. Right? So there's a family in town just for this weekend. And this is the plan to get together with them is to hang out on Halloween. And I'm reluctant to leave our house to do that.
I know. I keep saying Halloween. It's Halloween. I know. Whatever. I'll say Halloween. Hey, speaking of Halloween, what do you want? I have been in communication with our memorial guy. We have him on every year. He is still trying to get the memorial statue. He was trying to get it at the Capitol. That has failed so far, so he's been in talks with other locations that might be willing to erect a memorial statue to the 1991 Halloween blizzard. He reached out to me, in fact, last week. I sent him an email. Sent him an email a month ago just to make sure we got it on the radar. And he didn't respond. And finally, he sent me an email couple of days ago with about 75 attachments with it, including allegations of fraud, and things have really gotten out of hand. And I'm shocked that A, he stuck with it this long, that he's committed to this so much to try to get this memorial built, and that the pushback he's facing from so many people, and now allegations of fraud involved. I don't know where that's going to go. So he's got a lot to unpack with us. So I think he's going to join us on Friday, on Halloween. I almost said it again. On Halloween. We'll join us on Halloween, which will be the 34th anniversary of the great Halloween blizzard.
Wait, there was a blizzard on Halloween?
I know.
In the Twin Cities?
Yeah, we have Paul Douglas on next
hour. I'd never heard of that before.
We could recap the Halloween blizzard with Paul, and he could take us minute by minute through what happened, what transpired on that faithful Halloween. See, I don't feel right saying Halloween. I like Halloween. So tough.
I think you can say it how you want
say
to.
Say how I want
yeah,
to.
Get
yeah,
over it.
Get over it, Mr. Halloween or Halloween. Yeah, so have you made up your mind yet? What are you going to do?
I texted the group and I said something like, hey, are these plans in stone? I'd like to be home for Halloween just to see what happens.
Wow.
A little passive-aggressive. We'll
that
see
was.
How that goes.
Also, I just you're not explaining it more than that? You're just saying, I'd like to be home on Halloween?
I'd like to be home to pass out candy on Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not just saying, I just
do I try to move the party to my house?
You got a great backyard for a Halloween party.
I'd be happy to host. Yeah. But am I stealing somebody else's thunder?
Yeah, this late in the game, you probably are. I mean, it's 3 days away or 2 days away.
Well, tough.
We'll see.
We'll see.
This
okay.
is high drama. Maybe we'll keep following us.
Yeah, okay.
We are just shifting gears dramatically. There's a place called the Bardo in Invergrove Heights. It is a it's an end-of-life facility that does the end-of-life differently, a different way to think about the death. And it's such a taboo subject. We are so frightened to talk about death. We are so scared to talk about death. The goal of this place is not to make it so uncomfortable and to think about the end of life in a different way. Kristen Ahmet is executive director of the Bardo. We've talked to her before, but she'll join us next to talk about those difficult to talk about issues and to see if her facility is being accepted because a lot of people had problems with it. We'll find out why, get an update, and talk, have that uncomfortable conversation about death next on WCCO.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about death is uncomfortable. Nobody wants to talk about death or... It's not a comfortable talk when somebody is approaching the end of their life and talking about the plans that they want to do. We should be more comfortable talking about it, which is why I love people who think about it differently. Like Kristen Ahmet, who is executive director of the Bardo in Invergrove Heights. We've talked to her before. She joins us right now on the John Schuster Coble Banker Hotline. In case people have forgotten or are not aware of the Bardo, Kristen, thank you for joining us. First of all, please explain your facility and how you think about death differently.
Well, hi, Adam. Thanks for having me on again. Yes, happy to share a little bit about our facility and the organization. So the Bardo is actually a nonprofit that seeks to reimagine what it means to die well, specifically in Minnesota. So, of course, that includes the place. So we have a nonprofit that is part of the movement seeking to demystify the stigma around having conversations about death, working with providers on how they can fill the gaps in care when you have a terminal diagnosis, but also created this physical place formulated behind what's called the Omega Home model, which is a social model for end-of-life care. So it's similar to a hospice home. However, it doesn't have the same licensure and requirements and model as a traditional hospice home. So this home that we're in Invergrove Heights, is a beautiful 5,300 square foot home with three beds. So it's really small. And the idea is to rally the community around bringing support and care to their own. So the Omega Home model really seeks to transform how we do end-of-life care by bringing it to each community and letting them, the community, identify what those needs are and how to best fill those needs.
The differences between an Omega Home and a traditional hospice care, what are those differences, and are there some differences that, frankly, that the community or council members or people are uncomfortable with that you're trying to explain that are sticking points in this?
Gosh, that's a beautiful question. I think that yes, yes is the answer. We don't have any Omega Homes in Minnesota. The Omega Home model started in Oklahoma. There are over 30 states now that have this model in place. However, Minnesota does not. So I think when it comes to end-of-life care and death care, you already are facing criticism and fear. People hate, to your point, people hate talking about end-of-life and death. And having it in their backyard can be even more vulnerable and illuminating on your own fears. And I think that that in and of itself is something that we're going to work on, bringing more normalcy and reverence and acceptance to that whole process. But to your question, Omega Homes, again, they're social models. So their primary focus is on the emotional support, compassion, and community around end-of-life care, not the medical treatment. So most hospice facilities are focused on that medical piece, even though they bring in elements of biopsychosocial components. It is a federal license. So for instance, the reason we decided not to go that route is because it requires two RNs round the clock with that licensure. We have three beds. Anybody that works in healthcare knows that that's overkill for what we would need for three end-of-life care home or patients. So this model allows people in their own community to open up a home to support those who are at the final stages, but it's way smaller scale and it removes that medical piece.
Before we get into the issues that you have in getting licensure and the issues you've had with the city, is there a specific type of person that you would obviously, I assume you'd welcome most people, but is there a specific type of person or patient that would be right for the Bardo?
Yeah, I think I'll answer that in two ways. One, I think each community will create their own model. That's my goal, at least, to empower each community. So it might look different in, say, rural northern Minnesota as opposed to downtown Minneapolis versus north Minneapolis versus Roseville. Each community will look a little bit different. But for our model, for our place here in Invergrove Heights, no, it's really for anybody. Anybody who has a terminal diagnosis, who's likely about a month away from their final breath. And I say that because no one knows for certain, but I would love to be able to hold space for those people who are closer to end of life. Mm-hmm. So I would say people that are interested in being surrounded by nature, that are interested in working in a more holistic, reverent way rather than dying in a hospital. So somebody that has that interest spelled out for them is somebody who would love it here.
And explain that. You've got acreage out there. And how do you incorporate that into someone's final days?
So it's both for, I guess, just for reference, I'm a clinician by background, so I'm a palliative care provider. And what I have seen in practice is that a lot of the work goes into the family as well as the person dying. So the acreage here can be used for those that are able-bodied. So oftentimes end-of-life patients might not have that ability to be able-bodied. However, every room has these beautiful windows that look out onto woods. So we had an 8-point buck walking through the backyard the other day and 3 coyotes. We have 23 turkeys that are residents. On the adjacent property that we partner with, not this property, but the adjacent property, there are 3 horses and sheep and chickens and kittens. So my goal would be to have family members be able to take a lap around the acreage, find some peace and comfort from nature, and then come back in and be present to the person who's dying. So it's both for the person here and for their family.
So what
staff, you know?
Yeah.
And for staff, yeah.
We'll get to that. But what is your current status now? And are you in compliance with the state and or the city? Mm-hmm. Or where are we at with that right now?
Well, as you know, the city denied us mm-hmm. several times. Unfortunately, they haven't been out to visit us. They haven't been in correspondence with us much. I would love for them to come see the space so they can get on board and really be excited about this. But one of the things that we heard at all of our council meetings was, get the licensure. We worked with the Department of Health and Dakota County and the Department of Health and Human Services several times, and all of them said, you know, as far as we're concerned, there's not a license that fits this model. But when we were denied by the city, we had to go back to the drawing board, and we found a license that works for us. It's so overkill for what we need, but we're doing it as a means to an end, to set the stage to show people how this can be done. And so in that vein, we do have a license that we will be a licensed facility by the state. So we're in the process of that, and we should have a license in hand by mid-November. We've gotten the green light every step of the way, and it's just a matter of waiting for that physical piece of paper now. So we did it, and now our work begins to set the stage for other communities and show them how to be able to do that, perhaps without a license if possible.
So once you get that license, will your doors be open for people to use the Bardo?
Yes, they will.
And did you think it was going to be this difficult? And I get it. You know, being a city council member is tough work, and you got a lot of things to factor. But I guess what reasons have they been giving you as to their hesitancy, other than, well, you need the state to sign off on this? Is it just a matter of we don't want people dying out in the woods of Invergrove Heights? I guess I don't understand that. Do you have more clear explanation as to why they're hesitant about it?
I wish I did, Adam. We asked some of those very pointed questions, and there seemed to be just some nebulous aversion to it. So I could guess, and I could put my own perspective mm-hmm. that it is fear around end of life, that it is the unknown. Our name is the Bardo, which perhaps sounds like something that is untouchable and strange, and so the whole concept must be strange, when in fact we're a group of hospice and palliative care clinicians that work in hospitals that we really just want to bring back some peace and comfort to end of life. Some of the aversions were around the zoning element. So mm-hmm. if we were zoned to allow this, would that set the stage for others to do something similar? To which I responded, if there's a need and somebody is willing to donate such a grand place to do something similar, I would say, why not jump on board and rally around that? What a beautiful opportunity for the community. But, you know, I'm a population of one, so that's not how everybody sees it. I think with the licensure, it really lends some credibility and validity to what we're trying to do. However, it has been an arduous process and an expensive process. So my hope is that we can work with some key stakeholders in legislation to create a bill to allow other communities to do this without having to go to such extremes as we have.
Is there a need for this? In other words, you mentioned hospices. Mm-hmm. We've seen the struggles in our healthcare system. It Is there a door open for facilities like yours? In other words, are there hospices closing? I mean, do we need more services that you provide?
Great question. I think we will find out as we navigate all the changes that are coming down the pipe in healthcare. But my gut says yes. I know that we are in what's called a silver tidal wave, a very large aging population, and many places are closing down in our state, largely because of the finances around it. So again, that component of the hospice licensure, two RNs around the clock, that gets really expensive. So I know Duluth just closed down their hospice home. Rochester has October 10th closed down their hospice home. And then one closed down recently in Owatonna. And it's not because there weren't patients in those beds. It's because there is a large funding issue. So this model seeks to fill that without having so many financial obligations and requirements. And again, each person is obligated to be signed on to a hospice agency that is really managing the medical component of all of this. And then this creates the roof and the structure and the support. So that's the distinction, is that hospice still has to be on board with every person who comes here and with the Omega Home model itself. This is just the physical place. And hopefully that makes sense.
That is very clear. In fact, texters are wondering, too, and I think, how is this different from other hospice locations? And is it that the requirement of having two licensed RNs, is that basically the only difference?
There are many differences like that. I mean, the hospice licensure itself requires certain lighting, certain door frame distances, certain ramps, many other components, because they assume large scale. So they paint a broad brushstroke for large scale. And so, again, many of them are wonderful. As a clinician, I've visited the majority of them, and they're all fantastic. This doesn't seek to create an alternative to those,
right,
necessarily.
Not an indictment on our current hospices.
No, absolutely not. What it seeks to do is fill the void in, like, rural Minnesota. So I was at a conference last year, and a whole group of hospice nurses came up and said, gosh, we would love to have one of these in the Iron Range, because they have nothing for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So where do those people go? They die in the hospital, or they die in a nursing home. So this model would allow that whole community to say, hey, I have a home, I have 4 beds in it. Why don't I open up 3 of those for people to come in and have their final days here? And they could take this model and apply it to their current situation. So that's the distinction. It's not seeking to take away hospices that are currently working and operating, because those are incredible and they need to stay put. This seeks to fill the void on a smaller scale in each community.
And, if there are people willing to do that who have, a beautiful place, that are willing to open their doors to a family in this moment in time, boy, that says a lot about the people who, like yourself, who are involved in this. It takes special kinds of people to recognize and have this conversation that many people don't want to have, and to do it in a dignified and a beautiful way. I think that it's commendable.
Yeah, and, we've been so fortunate here at the Bardo that we've had a family that has funded this entire process. And it's been an incredible expense for them, but they've done it willingly and with constant continued support. However, that's not likely for many places. So again, we are trying to work with stakeholders and legislators to introduce a bill to the Senate floor to pass to allow other communities to do this with less of an entry point.
Lastly, and it's a quick one, you mentioned about how the issues that the city may or may not have, including the name. What is the name, the Bardo? What is that in reference to?
Oh, so the Bardo is a Tibetan Buddhist term that means the liminal space between life and death. I chose that because I am deeply rooted in several traditional practices of Eastern medicine. I studied in Northern India with the Dalai Lama and read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And that concept is so beautiful, and we don't have a really great word for that in the West. Mm. So while we're not a spiritual community at all, or a religious place, that word encapsulates so much of what we're trying to bring some meaning and reverence to, is that space between life and death.
Kristen, thank you so much for the time, and keep us updated, and we would love to have you on again because this conversation is so important to have, and I know it's a difficult one, but I think you handle it beautifully and makes people think that there are other ways to approach this sensitive topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adam.
Kristen Amon, Executive Director of the Bardo in Invergrove Heights, 1049 WCCO.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
10:53 is your Lindus Construction time check. Time to restore your home after the storm with expert storm damage repair from Lindus Construction. Fascinating story. And I understand the regulations that a state or a city has to have on a facility that deals with people who are passing away, who are dying, and the medical concerns and the facility concerns and the but the first time we talked to Kristen Amon, and now this time it seems like this is nothing but a positive effort funded by a family that decided to donate this valuable piece of property for a wonderful cause. And I think it is a wonderful cause because I think we are so scared to talk about death. And we all, just like other parts of life, especially, you know, in whatever culture you're in, you have just kind of the traditional way of doing things. You go to the hospital, you pass away, you are sent to a funeral home, and you have a funeral and a memorial service, and you move on. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, that many people obviously do that, but there are plenty of other people who wanted just a different option or decide to do things differently. And what is the person's wishes is so important in that, about what the individual wants. And this is something I would if I could be in nature. I was just talking this weekend about how I was up preparing for the deer hunting season and that being out in the woods is my magical place. And if at the end of my life, whenever that is, if I could choose to be in a spot in nature, sign me up every time. Instead of being in a hospital, which, again, I understand that there has to be certain restrictions on who is using this, what other what is their intentions, what do they want, as opposed to what the family wants. But they're not forcing anybody to do this, to say, no, you don't do the traditional hospice or hospital. We want to force you. No, they're just giving another opportunity for people mm-hmm. to have a different scenario for the end of their life.
Yeah, and I think the part of that that, to me, can be expanded to other areas of life beyond hospice is that there are, you know, rules and guidelines, in this case for a hospice facility, that were created thinking of hospice facilities with dozens or hundreds of beds. Okay, how do we keep these people safe? That's a good thing for regulators to do. Mm-hmm. How do we keep
sure.
yep. these people safe? Great.
Yep.
However, unintentionally in that, they made rules that now this company who's trying to, or this organization that's trying to do something new and different with also good intentions, now are playing by rules that it's impossible for them to play by. And it's an example of, you know, red tape and procedure getting in the way of innovation. And I think that happens all the time. People have great ideas about how to do things new and different, but it's tough to move a society, and in this case, a medical industry that's maybe stuck in its ways, or maybe, you know, has to be beholden to mm-hmm. certain guidelines, and you end up kind of stuck. And I guess I don't really blame anybody for that,
right.
But it's a tough situation for everybody involved to try yeah. to navigate something that should be good and beautiful, mm-hmm. but she's running into a lot of roadblocks.
Yep. Hopefully, that state licensure will mean that she can open her doors and that they can do what their mission says in helping people find comfort in those final days, which are difficult, obviously, for many. We'll shift gears. Hey, next hour, our new bit, our new Wednesday bit. Stop it. Stop it. What do you want to just say stop it when you see something? Maybe it's your neighbor's Halloween decoration. Stop it. We'll do that at 11:35, but you can get yours in now by texting them in, 651-461-9226, or use that voice message app on the Odyssey app, the voice message system. Check it out. We'll do Stop It coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.